Hello, and welcome to another episode of My Backstage Pass. This is your host, Lee Zimmerman, with my producer, co-host, and good buddy, Billy Hubbard. And today we're excited to welcome, all the way from the UK, Robert Vincent. Hi, Robert.
Hey.
Robert, it's great to speak to you. Now, you're in Liverpool, right?
Yeah, Liverpool in England, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, what a storied place to be from. Liverpool, the history and the legacy, man. That must be amazing to be in the midst of that. Yeah?
No, it's great. It's great growing up in a city like Liverpool because you have all of the history and the musical history and, you know, in 800 years of a port city as well. There's a lot of stories and history, so it's good. And there's a whole influx of other, you know, historical things, like, you know, there's a real Irish vibe, you know, because it was the first port of call, and a lot of people were leaving Ireland, and a lot of Scandinavians. I mean, even the term of a Liverpoolian is we are affectionately called Scousers, which goes back to like a kind of Norwegian Scandinavian name for something or other. I'm not too sure what it. I'm hoping it's a good thing, but
right.
But there's a lot of history here anyway, and certainly over the last 60, 70 years, the musical history has been.
Oh yeah, great. I mean, you can't say Liverpool without thinking of the Beatles. Hello, it's John Paul George and Ringo. Sorry, that was my attempt at an impression.
That wasn't too bad, actually. They went 17. You did okay.
Oh.
You did all right
okay.
there.
Good, actually, good. Trying to get
that
it down.
Wasn't too bad. I knew where you were coming from, you know.
Okay, excellent. Oh, cool. I mean, I bet you do a great John Lennon accent. I mean, if you really wanted to, I'm sure you could pull off any of them, actually.
But, probably, yeah.
All right, but we won't put you on the spot.
You know. Yeah.
We have enough to talk about with you, sir. What honors here? The 2021 UK Artist of the Year and your album, the 2021 UK Album of the Year in the Americana vein. I mean, congratulations, Robert. That's amazing.
Well, thank you very much. Thank you very much. I really appreciate that. And it's been a kind of bittersweet year, really, when the album came out. You know, I suppose it, as I was just saying to you before we started the record, and it came out on February the 14th, 2020, and then the world shut down in March here and everywhere else. So it was a strange old time to release an album, but still, you know, it seemed to resonate with people. It seemed to have a way of connecting with people. I think the themes were quite apt for the time, really. And you know, it everyone else was in the same position. So I think people were just kind of reaching out, trying to find music. And luckily I've kind of built up a good enough following of people. So it was received well. It's been an interesting time, but I'm looking forward to getting out and actually playing the album for people now.
So. Yeah, I mean, how do you get the word out when everybody and everything was shut down? How did you even let people know that you had an album out?
Well, we've done all of the usual things of the kind of PR things that you do leading up to a new album coming out. But then in the lockdown, I took to social media, really, and I was doing, like, you know, weekly posts, live gigs on Facebook and whatever, Instagram, whatever it was. So I kind of connected with people and I just made sure that people knew it was there. And it was great because I was able to connect with people in the States that have seen me play over there and people in Europe and all around the world. So in a way, it created a bit more of a connection in that time, and somehow it kept the album in people's minds. So it still did well with the Americana Association.
Americana it's pretty, you have some pretty good crowds over there for the Americana shows, it sounds like, right? Americana in the UK.
Yeah, it is. It's really taken off, especially over the last 5 or 6 years. It's really become a thing. And I come over, I would have been there right now. I would have been in Tennessee right now. I would have been in Nashville at the Americana US.
Yeah.
And I have done for the last 5 years. When I've been over, I've been and played with Billy. I've played at the station and I've got family in, are you guys in Knoxville? Yeah, I mean, I've got family in Knoxville.
That's right.
I'm in Merville. That's how we pronounce it.
Merville.
That's where the country, that's where
let's
the country
not
boys.
Get that mixed up.
Yeah.
Now.
Country boys live in Merville.
No, okay.
Merville.
But yeah.
Yeah.
But, okay.
Yeah.
But I think Robert, that rings a bell. I think I might have some family there too. You know, I think that really rings a bell. Actually, so you never know.
What about Rhonda? Now, have you got anybody in your family named Rhonda?
Rhonda Vincent.
I was wondering.
You know who Rhonda? Yeah, yes, maybe. You never know.
I'm aware of her work.
How about Vincent Price? No, that wouldn't work. Sorry. Sorry, that wouldn't work.
I'm scary enough for that.
Oh, yeah. By the way, in case you hear these sounds, you know, he's
yes.
Lee's in charge of the buttons.
Okay.
A few of them.
but for to get back to a serious subject here, you won these accolades this year, but these aren't your first accolades because you won the Emerging Artist Award in 2016 from Whispering Bob Harris. DJ. Bob Harris.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I did indeed. And that was kind of my introduction to the Americana world, because everything I knew before then was that it was either country or it was old country. And it was, you know, you kind of try to,
yeah,
you try to stay somewhere within the lines of those two things. And then I met Bob at an event that was going on in Liverpool in 2015. And that was, strangely enough, it was an event where they were recreating the Bluebird in Liverpool.
Oh, wow.
And there was a whole bunch of songwriters came over, Beth Nils and Chapman and,
really?
Jim Lauderdale, all of these guys.
Oh, love and, Jim.
And
yeah.
So they came over and they were doing an in the round in the evening, but they spent an afternoon with about 20 musicians, and I was one of them.
Wow!
And they just listened to it. They listened to a song and they critiqued the song or whatever that was. And I think I was the penultimate person to play a song, and it just seemed to connect with everyone and connected with Bob. So Bob then brought me in and made me his emerging artist. And then that kind of led to doing lots of different things with Bob, you know, through his radio show. And then it just brought that connection to the Americanas. And that was their like kind of inaugural. It was their first year of having their award ceremony as well. And
wow.
And then I went on to win the 2018 album of the year with I'll Make the Most of My Sins, which was my second album. So it's kind of, you know, there's been a big, you know, it's been a good connection to have. It's like you've got a unity with musicians and people who are in the same genre as you, I suppose. So that gives you something to lean on and somewhere to kind of hang your hat and just, you know, it helps rather than just having to try and fight your own battles, you know.
I mean, your career, I guess, began, your first album came out in 2013. So we're really talking about a lot of kudos here in, what, 7-8 years. I mean, I hope you have a pretty big mantel place there above the fireplace for all these awards.
Yeah. Well, I think, you know, it's like anything else. You want to try and do, you know, I mean, I've got another album ready to go now, and I just need to make sure that I do it in the right way. And I think being patient and putting the right things in order to make things happen is just the best way to do it. You know, it's so tempting these days just to put things out and just to release and release and release, because
yeah,
I think kind of what people tend to do. I like to take my time, not too much time, but I like to take time so that it connects with the right people and hits the right spots that it needs to. And I think that's kind of my maybe, and the fact that, you know, at the end of the day, you've just got to write a good song.
Yeah, yeah.
You've got to write a good song that connects with people, you know.
Right.
Your song, I know, whenever I first heard Robert, before I even knew who you were, and I ran across the song Demons, I think that I played that one several times. I thought, wow, who is this guy?
Demons.
It was, I mean, and then I went on from there, you know, I got the album. But that was a hook for me.
The new album, or the latest album, is called In This Town You're Owned, right? I mean, that's the one you we were saying that came out like February of 2020, right before the pandemic. And so, but then you also did a series of EPs, right? Acoustic versions of some earlier songs, right?
Yeah, so I did. Because I was playing a lot of these live Facebook shows, people were, you know, people were really enjoying just the acoustic vibe of the songs, you know, the different versions. And people, the one thing I've learned is that people love different versions of songs. And an album is only a snapshot in time. It's only how you were feeling and playing and reacting to music at that moment in time. So it's nice to kind of sometimes just to have different versions for people. And so people started asking if they could have, you know, is there an acoustic version of this song? Is there an acoustic version of that song? And said, no, but you know what? Why didn't I just do some? And at the time we were locked down, but we could still get together. They hadn't kind of imposed, you know, complete and utter like isolation. So I'd have a double bass player with me, and this guy comes in, plays fiddle and mandolin and banjo. Wow. So we'd be sat around the kitchen table, and I'd just put the phone on a stand, and then you almost just forget it was there, and you were just playing, and it was almost just like a bit of a pick and party, you know. It was just, you'd just be having a drink and just chilling out, and so in the end, it became a real thing. So we put these songs down pretty. Like that, we just got together in the house and we would just press record and we'd play them. And the raw element is very live. So they were really well received by people, because I think it was a real reminder of the time, if that makes any sense. I know no one really wants to be reminded of being in a pandemic, but there are some nice things that come out of the, you know, some nice experiences and memories that come out of anything. So they resonated with people again. So they were fun to do. But then I've been, again, on the flip side of that, I've been into the studio and I've recorded a whole bunch of songs from a back catalogue with a string arrangement as well. So that's a whole new thing to come out to. So and actually, if anyone is interested, I've just literally a couple of weeks ago put up a version of Demons with the string section, which is one of my favorite versions. It's
how about that, Billy?
Cool.
Billy's getting giddy now to hear that. Yeah. He just mentioned that's one of his favorite songs with strings.
Yeah.
And
yeah, man, I'll check that one out.
And you can go across and find that on YouTube. Yeah, and I did some other covers as well. I did there's a cover of Waterloo Sunset by the Kinks up there.
Oh, wow, what a beautiful, one of my favorite songs. Yeah.
Yeah. And again, there's a kind of, the reason why I did that was because when I grew up as a kid, from where I am right now, there's a couple of miles down the road, there's a place called Waterloo. It's right on the River Mersey, and there's beautiful sunset come down there every day. I just kind of assumed growing up that this was a song about Liverpool, you know, and then obviously you learn that it's about London. But
as I
was kind of researching a lot of these songs and before we recorded them, I stumbled across an interview in Ray Davis had done in 2010, and he'd said that he loved coming to Liverpool see the Beatles and play with the Beatles in the 60s so much, and he loved being in Liverpool that the song was originally called Liverpool Sunset, and I got a feeling that he might have written about the sunset here, but then kind of related a lot of the lyrical meaning back to London, and So there's a real, again, there's a real thing about that. And it's a song that I can remember as a kid growing up. I just used to love it, you know, but, so it's got a, so it's with the string section, the way that we've done it, it's given it a real kind of Beatles lilt. So it's kind of got that lovely pink stroke Beatles feel to it. So just check that out if you get a minute. It's a nice version.
Now, are Terry and Julie still hanging out there? Oh, they're probably in the London Warrior, yeah. Terry and Julie. Obscure reference. They're the characters in the songs. It's terrible when you say a joke, you have to explain the punchline. It's just not a good thing. You got it. Okay.
I got all the right. joke. Really. Got
Bill is pretending work. That he got it.
Yeah.
Bill is going, huh?
Well, I forgot to push my button. I got it.
Yeah, there you go.
and this latest album was produced by Ethan Johns, who is like...
Yeah.
Son of the great Glyn Johns, and just an amazing artist and producer on his own. Is he going to be behind the boards for the next album too? Or
I'm really open to. I mean, we've been speaking quite a lot recently, and that's it's kind of been a it's kind of something that we've talked about things doing the first album really, because you know he's been someone to me for like 20 years who I kind of. We started listening to the music that he was producing. I was working in a record shop around about kind of 2000, and I just kept hearing these songs, and I kept looking at the inlay of the album and seeing that it was produced by Ethan Johns, and I thought, who is this guy? You know, and for years I thought he was an American because I just thought of all of the American artists that he's working with and all of these great Americana country. Songs that he's working with and bands and acts. I just thought, well, he's got to be an American guy. It wasn't until I looked into it that I realized, you know, once you can start to Google someone and then find out more about them, like, obviously I realize his history, but
yeah,
you know, he's someone who also, you know, if you dig a bit deeper, you know, he was playing drums. He was on a tour when he was 25 years of age with Crosby, Stills and Nash, you know, for that one of their comeback tours, like, you know, and he's just got so much musical history and himself, and he's just one of the finest musicians you'll wish to ever play with. So it's, for me to work with him was a really, really, really big deal, because he's almost channeled me to where I am now, unknowingly anyway, through everything that he's done. So it was such a big thing for me.
In other words, you kind of admire him. I'm getting that feeling. You kind of, kind of. Well, we should play a song from that latest album, and this one is called Conundrum. So why don't we check that out here?
Yeah,
Conundrum.
Conundrum.
Oh, I did pronounce. Okay.
Conundrum.
Who knows? It's early over here.
Okay. Here we go. Clip this.
This world alone, try to leave it better off. planes take off. It's like some ever-visible punch and punch that makes you choke. But you must swallow it without reaction, like you're staring at a mirror in the view.
That's a beautiful song, Robert.
Yeah,
really.
Sounds great.
Thank you.
Really, really.
Thank you very much.
And it's little doubt as to why you won these wonderful awards as a result of that album, too. I'm curious, when you win, what is it? It's 2021 UK, is it UK Americana Artist of the Year or UK Artist of the Year or... From the Americana, so yeah.
It's Americana Music Association Artist of the Year. Yeah.
Okay, and, all right. And album of the year. Do they give you a little badge so that when you go to a restaurant, you can cut in front of the queue? Any little perks like that? Like, come with it?
Well, you know, I mean, it's... I'd be more than happy to wear all of my awards and try that if I could. But no, I mean, it's like, you know, the thing is that it's nice to be, you know, noticed for your work.
And sure.
For people to, because, you know, it's voted by the members. So there's however many members there are that are signed up to the Americana Music Association.
Right.
They're the people who are making the decisions about who they want to. So for me, that gives me, you know, a great feeling. It's not just like, it isn't just some people in a room that have decided that this is who it's going to be.
Right.
And also, yeah. You know, there was a readers poll of another, I must mention these guys. They're called UK Americana, and they're a different association, but they also gave me Artist and Album of the Year too, and that was a readers poll. So that I get, you know,
double
so
hit.
That was
a monopoly there,
hit,
Robert
yeah.
Vincent, a monopoly on the UK Americana people. That's excellent. But you know, I am curious, and this is believe it or not, a serious question. Believe it or not, but when you won these accolades and these honors for your previous work, then you have another album coming out. I mean, is it almost intimidating? Do you feel like, wow, now I got to really measure up? There's a high bar I set there. I mean, does that weigh on you at all? Maybe not way.
I know what you mean. I think the whole thing weighs on you anyway. But I mean, we all have our days where we worry about how things are going to be, you know, accepted or taken by people. But really, at the end of the day, what it boils down to is that if you are happy with what you're doing and what you're producing, then that's really the only. Really, the only benchmark you can have, because worrying about whether anyone else is going to like it or not, it will slowly drive you mad.
Yeah.
So I kind of tend to live in the world of I write a song that I like and connects with me, and then I like to think that if anyone has liked what I've done before, then hopefully they'll just like this. Like, you know, it's good because I have quite a high bar for myself, really,
in
terms of the things that I try to put out. So, I mean, I do, in the quietest moments, I do definitely worry about whether people are going to, but then that's just life. And I just try, as I say, I tend to try to write a good song and just put it out there and see what people think.
So what's next for you? Are you able to go out on tour now? What are things like over there in the UK? I mean, can you go play concerts at this point?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, things have calmed down a lot. Okay. You know, things have calmed down a lot. Obviously, we're going to be heading into a winter, and then that could throw things up in the air again. But we've started booking some shows. I've got two shows. Booked here in Liverpool back to back and in November, and then we're putting together a tour for the rest of November and December, and then I'm hoping to be supporting hopefully Mary Chapin Carpenter in January, February, but you know, I'm still waiting for that to be confirmed in the UK.
Wow.
And then going out doing another tour in March, April, May. So these things are all down to whether or not, you know, how COVID turns out.
Right.
I saw you've been rubbing shoulders with some pretty big names over there. I saw Robert Plant pop up somewhere where you were at, I think.
Yeah. I think he was at the award ceremony the year I won my first album of the year with I'll Make the Medicine Sins, and he's just a really nice guy. And a lot of these people are involved in the association over here now, so because obviously Robert and Alison Krauss had, and they've just released another album, but it is coming out soon, isn't it? But they, you know, the Raisin Sand album, and whenever it was, 2006, that was a real signifier to me that, you know, the music, the Americana vibe and music could survive over here. So, so someone like Robert Plant is always kind of paved the way. And obviously Alison Krauss has been amazing for years and years, and she's a huge, you know, influencer in that style of music too, bluegrass and Americana.
That's it. Robert, I remember at some point, I can't remember where I heard it, you talking about it, but your early influence when you were a kid, your dad listened, didn't he influence you? He played a lot of, was it country music or something? You're in the car riding around?
Merle,
was it Merle? Who was it? I forgot now.
A lot of, you know, like Charlie Rich, Merle Haggard, Emmylou Harris. There's all kinds of Roy Orbison. There's always a lot of that stuff going on.
Yeah.
In the household, but dad was.
That's cool.
I mean, Liverpool was a. You know, I've kind of said this before. That Liverpool had a real country influence in the '50s and the '60s. There was a lot of country bars, country influenced bars, and bands used to play. You know, even Ringo Starr grew up playing in country bands around Liverpool, and that's because we could get the imports, we could get all of the country records here. And,
well, it's
and,
a seaport, yeah. They brought them over from America, right? I mean,
of course. And you know, the guys used to go off, and Q&R guys used to go, and then they'd bring them back. And I think there was a real, you could see the difference between Liverpool and London, which was that London tended to be more blues-based, and there was a lot of blues went into London, whereas in a lot of country and jazz was the thing for Liverpool, because even the Cavern was originally a jazz bar. So it was like, there's a lot of those different influences going on. So you were either in one, well, I suppose you weren't in one camp or the other, or even the Beatles were influenced so much by American music, that, you know, the true definition of what the Beatles did, like I've said before, I mean, it was rock and roll music, but if you want to start whittling things down, it's Americana, it's country, it's all of these different things, because truly they were inspired by that music. They were inspired by what they were hearing from America. So it's no different now, really, with any of those influences. I get quite surprised when people can't really, when they say, well, you're from the UK, why are you playing Americana? But it's gone on for 60 years, you know.
We don't have any Englandcana over here. If we had Englandcana, but we don't.
Anglicana.
So, yeah, I don't know.
Well, there's the button again.
Yes.
Yeah, I mean, again, the true influence of that is that, you know, what created country and Americana and all of these different things that the US has, which are fantastic and we love, came from the, you know, the Scottish, Irish, English,
of
European
course,
folk music
here
that
to
came
Appalachia
over.
From England and Ireland and Scotland. And so the roots were planted here, and then it just came back. So, I mean, it is kind of a continuing circle in a way, you know.
It really is.
The circle
really
being
is.
Unbroken.
There was an album, or before the pandemic, I saw you were, you were touring around playing in some old buildings or churches or something. Was that?
Yeah.
What was that? Was that just something you just found? You all got a lot of great places you can just go play, apparently, huh?
Well, I mean, the thing is that there's so many lovely. I did do a tour of churches over here with a company that were putting them on, and then the idea is that a lot of churches over here now are kind of being, you know, left and just, you know, fallen into wreck and ruin, and this company were doing them up and using them, that, you know, they were renovating the places and using them for you know, like social spaces, so to put gigs on, you know, all of these different things, theatre productions, I did a few little gigs around the UK in some of these lovely churches and lovely spots. But they're always great. They're always great places to play anyway, churches.
Well, we hope that you'll be able to make it back here before too long, because we look forward to seeing you, Robert.
Have you back at the station. Anytime you're coming this way now, let me know. Started developing the station about 7 years ago, and it's kind of, now it's grown quite a bit. So since you were here, you were the early one. Ones.
Well, that's good. No, I really look forward to coming back, Billy. You know, I think when did I first come? It was maybe 2015, was it, or something?
Yeah, I think you came once.
Something
with,
like that.
Came once with Tom Britt, and let's see, I forgot the other guy's name.
Right.
Once you were there with a steel player, I forgot his name too. Dang
it. That old steel player,
Chris Hillman, Chris Hillman.
Chris Hillman.
No, not that Chris Hillman.
But he is pretty impressive.
That's my own story.
No, Chris, the one that's with you is pretty daggone impressive, though. He's a great instrumentist.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah.
Well, hopefully we'll reconvene there. It's really been great speaking with you, Robert. And you. And when will the new album be out? I mean, do you have any idea at this point, or...?
Well, I want to try and get in and start the process within the next few months, really.
Okay.
I would say that I'd like to have something ready to go by, you know, middle of next year, hopefully.
Okay, great.
And then, so we'll see. You know, I mean, it's obviously there's a lot of moving parts and things have to happen, but yeah, I'm hoping to have something out soon. It won't be too long anyway. I won't be leaving it too long. So.
By the way, Robert,
I look forward to being out. Go on.
We have a special guest here. Let me bring him on. Hello, Robert. It's Ringo. Come on down to the pub.
Hey, Ringo.
I'm waiting for you.
How are you doing? Peace and love, Ringo. Peace and love.
Peace and love. That's all I can say. It's peace and love. Yeah, love.
Okay.
Well, next time Ringo can come and play the drums at the station with me as well.
There you go.
Hey, yeah. Hey, I was just listening to him play with... our buddy Ray Wiley Hubbard,
Ringo. Ray Wiley, yeah, he's getting around.
There you go.
Yeah.
Well, again, Robert, thank you so much for your time.
My pleasure.
It's probably close to dinner time for you there, and why don't you give us your your website so that folks can check you out? That would probably be a good thing to do here.
Well, if they head over to robertvincentmusic.com. They can find everything that they need to find on there.
Okay, robertvincentmusic.com. We will definitely look forward to checking that out.
We'll
look forward to your new music, and thank you for all you do, my friend.
Yeah,
thank
thanks.
You.
Yeah.
Thank you, and I really appreciate you reaching out and giving me the time to have a chat with you. So
terrific.
Yeah. I'll be in touch when I'm coming back over to the States, guys. I really look forward to it.
Yeah.
Okay, man. Well, we're going to do a sign out here, and really appreciate it. Big thanks to Robert Vincent and, of course, our host, Lee Zimmerman. By the way, check out Lee's book, available on Amazon, Americana Music, Voices, Visionaries, and Pioneers of an Honest Sound, now available. And it's a great book. Also, please like, share, and subscribe to My Backstage Pass on your favorite platform. And we'll see y'all next time. Happy trails.